What's up, my friend? Welcome to Breathing Fire, the official podcast of Beast Life Brand, a new breed of powerful believers repping the Lion of Judah. Christ lived the original beast life, and now it's our turn. We must warn you, though, it's not for the weak. It's for the hardcore.
Hardcore.
Our MO is to equip people of faith and kingdom entrepreneurs to live powerful and represent. God did not create you to live small. He gave you raw talents to develop and use. It's time to find more purpose, live with passion, and lead with impact. Your host is Fired Up Phil, a husband and father, entrepreneur, rebel, truth seeker, and man of faith who's leading and growing the Lion's Tribe movement. We despise religion and lukewarm living. We're fired up and building our kingdom. Please connect with us across social media at Beast Life Brand. And now, get ready to have some fun and break some chains with this episode of Breathing Fire.
All right, we are here with Rashawn Jones, aka Saint Jones.
Yeah. Harking back to everything that led up to this point, harking into the voice of the Lord, and it led to where I'm at now and where He's taking me. You know, look, here I am. Here I am teaching you about the great I am. As I glance back in my past, this wasn't in the plans. If you'd have said I'd be a preacher, I'd say not a chance. Never knew the blood of Christ can clean these 30 hands.
Up, Phil. We're on the podcast and the blog here, Breathing Fire. We got another episode of Chopping It Up, and I'm excited here because I love to get people on who got stuff to say, right? And one of the things that I realized about you, just getting to know your music and stuff like that, is you bring some stuff with some depth. You know, I like that. And I like, I'm excited here to kind of, you know, go back and forth with you a little bit, talk about your music, talk about the things that you got inside of you and that we want to kind of try to pull out in this conversation. Absolutely. So while we're getting started, let me, I always mess with people too. Like, I know you're Saint Jones is your music name, right?
Right.
So obviously we're all saints. So I'm assuming that that's where the saint part comes. Is there any special story about that? Like,
Other than like, I was in a basement with one of my brothers, actually, one of the first brother I met after I got saved, that was my age. We were okay. In the basement and, it just came to me. I'm like, Saint Woods, and his last name is Woods.
Okay.
My last name is Jones. So we just said, let's roll with that.
Okay. Nice. I do like it. And so, you know, I've been a fan of music, you know, for a long time. And a lot of people ask me, yo, dude, why do you interview a lot of musicians, stuff like that? And I do. And the reason why I do is because I've been a big fan. Is that your daughter?
Yes. Go.
Don't worry. I got little ones, bro. Life is life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They ask me, like, yo, why do you interview, a lot of musicians? I'm like, well, to be honest with you, because like music has had such an impact in my life and it's been so important to me, like music is food for your soul, right? Like it literally penetrates and it hits you at an emotional level, at a mental level, it goes throughout your whole body.
Right.
And so I'm like, yeah. And it did something for me when I was at a young age, when I was going through a struggle. And so I always like to, you know, pass music forward because it had impacted me so much. So I like to bring musicians on, and I'm happy to have you on here. We're going to get to chop it up and talk about what you got going on. But I just want to clarify that with some people listening. You know, I think, and I'm going to let you weigh in on this, but, you know, music is something that especially it's subliminal in a way, right? Like when you listen to stuff, you're getting your beat, you're getting lyrics, you're getting lots of stuff that's kind of programming you. And so I always believe in listening to and choosing to listen to, you know, positive music because I want to choose my programming. I don't want to just let myself, right, get programmed. And so everybody is programmed, right? Whether they're aware of it or not. We see it a lot with politics and all this and stuff. We're not going to get into it on this show, but
right. But let's I know what you mean.
You know what I'm saying? But let's talk about music in that manner. Like,
yeah.
Would you agree? Like, it has an effect on you, whether you realize it or not.
Hey man, it's like no one can deny that. If you deny, you're just in denial. Because I mean, throughout history, and just even in real life, everything is surrounded by the music. The kids dress based on what their favorite artists dress like.
Yes.
They talk like their favorite artists. Everything is surrounded by music in this culture. It is the number one. It's the number one topic of conversation, probably more so than sports. It's music. Because sports even integrates music into the presentation of sports. So I always tell this story about my cousin, man. He's in prison right now.
Okay.
But I remember he was talking to me, and we were smoking. This before I got saved. We were smoking on the porch, and he's like, "Hey, man," he had just got out of jail from doing another bid.
Yeah.
He was like, "Hey, man, I'm trying to do right, but listening to this Rick Ross got me wanting to get back to it."
Yeah.
Shortly after that, I get saved. Probably 2 months after I get saved, he goes back to prison. He's still in prison. So, you know, it has an effect on people.
It does have an effect on people. It's programming. You know, it's programming. That's a fact. It's like when you hang around, like the types of people that you choose to roll with, they all have everything that is in your environment has an impact on you and has an effect on you. We our slogan is helping, like, our audience and what we teach in Beast Life Brand is helping people live powerful. And there's no way that you can live powerful if you ignore your environment. And music is part of your environment, you know, especially if you listen to it a lot. A lot of people listen to music a lot, like for an enormous amount of time throughout the day, right, throughout the week. Some obviously more than others. But to not pay attention to what is in your environment is really missing the boat. And it's really going to prevent you from living powerful, because if you neglect to really and truly understand like how impactful all of the environmental programming is around you, then it's going to be hard for you to win at the end of the day. It's definitely going to be. I've noticed an enormous difference in the people that we coach and everything that we do. Like, as part of our program, we focus on environment. And when we start to reshape that environment around people, miracles start to happen. It's so powerful, because people don't realize how much of a stronghold that their environment is on them. And so obviously we're talking about music today, but so music is part of that environment, and it's something that the listener should pay someone. And I'm not saying that they can never listen to, you know, and I don't even like to say secular music.
Right.
It's either positive or negative music. Words right. either create or destroy, right? Mm. They do things. That's it. So, you know, when we're talking about this and we're talking about music, the people listening should just take from this to don't neglect that music is programming, right? And
yeah.
I'm not saying I'm not saying that you can never listen to, you know, to anything that is maybe there's neutral music, right? And then there's some music that kind of starts to, you know, program you and put you into a mindset that you probably don't want to be into, right?
Yeah.
So just be mindful if you're listening that, you know, when you surround yourself and you recreate your environment and you include music in that, you include the people around you in that and other, you know, things as well to shape that positive environment that basically reinforces who you want to be and who God has called you to be, then that helps and pushes you right to that next level. So let's talk about music today. Let's talk about what in the world got you excited about, you know, making music and like, how did that all happen for you? Tell us a little bit about your story or, you know, your background. Like, how'd you get passionate about wanting to make music and about making music?
Well, it started when I was probably, as far as what made me like music, my mom, when I was, like I say, up until I was about 10, my mom would listen to like our R&B and stuff like that. And, and then it's just like, the rest is kind of a blur as far as what she listened to prior to me turning like 10, 11. And I remember my cousin was listening to some music when I was like 10.
Okay.
And it was Forgot About Dre. And it was listening to some Jay-Z. It was one of the songs off the Hard Knock Life.
Okay.
And I was like, man, that is dope. And he actually was rapping the lyrics word for word. And I thought that was so cool that he was able to remember But this is how much my cousin LP loved me. He wrote the lyrics down for me so that I can read it and learn it myself. This is before internet where you can, you know what I mean, where everything was so easily accessible as far as lyrics is concerned. So, but like, so that's where it started. But when I turned 14, my mom had got us a computer. I went to Kmart. I bought me an $11 microphone. I never forget it. I put it in the little microphone slot on the computer. I downloaded a free app, music recording app called WavePad. I recorded myself over some instrumentals. I downloaded some instrumentals off of the little file sharing sites and stuff. And I rapped over Jesus Walks, and then I rapped over the explosive beat. So that's how I started as far as my passion for music and stuff like that. But I never let nobody hear anything till I was about 17, 18. And then that's when I started just rapping. But it wasn't, you know, positive music. It was negative music. It started being positive when I turned 24. And once I gave my life to the Lord. So.
Your walk changed. And then
absolutely
music. So what does making music mean to you now?
Man, it's like, for me, it's like, it's almost like, so I live like by this. The Bible says, store not up treasures upon earth where moths do corrupt and thieves break in and steal.
Okay.
But store for yourself treasures in heaven. Okay. And a part of storing treasures in heaven is doing the work of the Lord. And so one of the scriptures I live by is the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Okay. And so if we know that Christ and the angels are building mansions for us and there's all type of treasures to get, I'm able to make music and I'm able to minister to people without even being there through my music. So it's like, and if, of course, music is a very, like you said, it's powerful. It gets in your subconscious. It gets in your mind. So, excuse me, I wanted to provide, use my gifts, my passion to edify people, to evangelize people, to encourage and motivate and to glorify God with my gifts, man. And so that's why I record a lot of music. I got a lot of music out because there's just this sense of urgency to provide as much of the story of the gospel, as much of encouragement about overcoming addiction, overcoming struggles, as much as I can in my testimony to be able to encourage people in different ways. So this person may not like that style of music, but I can do it in a different style, but the message will be the same. So then both of them get to receive it in the manner in which they like to receive it the most. And one of the things I felt the Lord spoke to me some years ago in the basement, as I said, I want you to speak to this generation through music, when I was questioning whether or not I should be doing it, because I was dealing with my own struggles early as a young Christian. Sure. So I would always question whether or not, should I be doing this? Should I quit this stuff and focus on something else? And that's when God spoke that to me. So I like to call it an audio track, man. It's like a pamphlet about the kingdom, but it's an audio. So when you give somebody a CD, it's like evangelizing, man. It's like, you know.
That's cool. I like what you said. And, you know, kind of going back a little bit, you had made a comment about it. You could basically give your message and spread your message when you're not even there, right? Because it's recorded, you made the music, and it lives. And it, you know, it's able to reach without you having to be here like we are right now in person.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're doing too, because we're obviously recording, right? And for me, one of the things, I wasn't necessarily as gifted with music, but like when I got, you know, kind of alone and with God and trying to figure out, like, what are you good at, dude? Like, where do your talents lie? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I got the gift of discernment. I like to be able to like kind of break things down, and I use, you know, writing and talking and, you know, basically lyrics. So I'm my own MC. That way that I try to be able to lay tracks down. And that's the terminology that I use too. Like when we're laying the track down right now, if I'm writing a blog or whatever, I'm laying a track down, you know, like I'm trying to get my, you know, what's inside of me out. And so that I could do that same thing, like you're talking, to duplicate it, get it out there and be a positive light. And, you know, with music, it's, you're able to create that piece of art with, you know, In hip hop, you got a beat, you know, maybe in rock, you got other things, you got guitars, you got this, but
right,
you got lyrics, you got all that. But for the writer, I try to do it with like just words and then maybe some images and then maybe, you know, what we're doing. So it's similar in that it's an art, right? And it's similar in that we're still trying to reach people and get through to them and penetrate their soul with the message of light. That's why I've always liked it too. And I do like that, because like you said, at the end of your day, and we'll probably get into this later at the end, but like your legacy, right? Your legacy is one of those things that I don't want to ever overlook, because I think that's almost like how you give back to God, right? It's like,
yes,
he gifted you with these forms of capital here on earth, time, talent, treasure, right? And what do we do with those things? We have to, you know, obviously do and be good stewards of them so that we can give back and leave a legacy, which is our fragrance when we're gone, right? Mm. Like, and that is a sweet smelling form of, you know, worship that we offer up to him and say, hey man, look, Lord, I give you my whole life. I give you this. I laid it all out for you. You know, I may not have been the best, but I did my best, you know, with what I had. And so, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we're here trying to do, right? Store up treasures in heaven. But as we like to also say, we're kingdom building, you know, in heaven, but we're also building our kingdom right here on earth. And I think that kingdom that God, that vision and that life that God has for you here, that's a kingdom that he's given us. In Revelation 1:6, it says we're kings and we're queens, right? Yeah. And that kingdom that he's provided, that's a vision that we have to manifest. We've got to build that, create that, grow that right here, man. You know? And that's what we like to help people do. And I'm so excited for you, because I do believe that you're operating within your gifts and your talents. You know, obviously listening to you, there's some people that I'm like, yo, man, I don't know. You should be doing what you're doing.
I know exactly what you
know
what
I'm saying? Yeah. But with you, I like your flow. Everybody's got their own flavor when it comes to, like, you know, how they like to MC and stuff, and like what kind of style that they bring.
Yeah.
I like your flow. You got a nice smooth flow. It's almost like a old school flow, and it's smooth. It's probably why I really like it.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. So, you know, some guys too, like, everybody has a different thing about them. So when did you uncover your talents and your flow and your, like, tell me a little bit about that process maybe, because I really think that people do have a hard time sometimes uncovering what it is that they're good at and coming into their own skin, so to speak. Do you have anything to share maybe on like any process you went through with that? Or,
well, it's kind of like, I believe that when it's really something that is a God-given gift, that's something that it's already inside of you. So a lot of times it starts to manifest when you're really young. You know, it starts to manifest as far as like, no one heard my music when I was 13 and 14, 15, 16, except for my brother and my mom.
Right.
But I was passionate about it anyways. And I didn't want no one to listen to it. I wasn't confident enough in it, but I enjoyed listening to it because I was passionate about it. So a lot of times it's like, would you do this? If a lot of people are doing something because they're looking at the end result of it. And so I want what he has. He has a bunch of fans, a big platform. He's doing shows. So I want that. So therefore, I'm going to try to do whatever I can do to achieve that, even if I'm not necessarily gifted in this area. I can put some words together and put it on the beat. So let me just do it. Right. And then hope that people support it, you know,
like kind of re-imitating somebody, or
absolutely
instead of being a creative and finding that, you know, that true creator that you are,
right?
You regurgitate somebody else's style or whatever, right? You want to find out who that true, because look, we're made in God's image, right, and likeness, and that's the creator.
Yeah.
So to think that I think all people have a sense of that creation, you know, in them. Like they have that sense of, you know, wanting to create something because we're made by the creator. Like, come on, man.
In his likeness, in his image.
So we have to have a piece of that creativity, creative making in us. And so like you're saying, when you find that, don't try to be somebody else. You maybe hear another musician that you like, or maybe whatever it is that you feel like your talents are leading you towards. Don't try to be like somebody else. Like you can learn from them, you know, like you did, you learn from other artists, you get a feel for, you know, things that they're doing, But at some point, you got to get into your own creativity and say, hey, man, like, you know, I'm me. And I don't need to be anybody else, right?
Facts, man.
And, you know, like all the things, too, what I find cool whenever I get to, you know, chop it up with people, especially people that I don't really know as well. Like, that's why one of the reasons why I love this, too. I get to meet people, learn about them. And it's cool because nobody has been through like all the exact same experiences and the culture that you've been through.
Right.
And nobody has the same gifts and talents inside of them. Exactly. Some people have similar, right? But they don't have the exact same. They don't have the exact same mindset and mental processing. And so like every time I'm sitting here talking with somebody, like right now, I'm literally talking to an individual. I've never talked to anybody like you before.
Right.
So that's dope. Yeah. You are a unique creation, right? And I'm a unique creation.
Yeah.
And, so that's fun. And I think that like your treasure is in accepting that and really trying to bring that out, right?
Yeah, man. It's like, and that's one of the things that I talk about, man. It's so important in this walk. It's so important because I think when you don't figure out, spend your time finding out who you are, spend the time finding your correct identity, especially when you come into Christ. Like I had to find myself. I know my identity is in Christ, but like you said, I have a unique set of circumstances that I grew up, things that influenced me. I have my own things that I like, that I don't like. And like you said, and then the influences of those that I've heard before me, but I'm also my own person. So it's like, I don't want to be a carbon copy of someone else. And then also that's why it comes across. It doesn't relate to the people. People can't feel what someone's doing if they're not themselves.
Correct.
If it's not, you know, if it's not coming from a genuine place. And so
there's power there.
So much power in accepting who you are. Yeah. A lot of times we don't know who we are. And then sometimes we find who we are and we don't accept it. And I want that. So then we start to covet other people's life. And it's no, listen, I know who I am. I'm going to make the best of who I am, and whoever I can relate to, whoever I can be inspiration to, let it be. But I want to operate in my purpose, because that's when you're going to find in your own passion. That's where you're going to find joy. You're going to find it's going to come more natural for you. It's going to be a smoother operation. And so a lot of people you see who aren't that, they lose passion for the thing quickly. Like so the moment that it doesn't take off like they thought it was, they're done. I see it all the time on Facebook. Yeah. Oh man, lack of support. No one supports. I quit. And it's like, okay. But it's like, I've had thoughts that hit me about stopping doing this, but not because I wasn't getting a result that I wanted. It was because I didn't know if being associated with this was the right thing that God wanted me to do. So I had to spend time confirming that this is what God wants me to do. Also, when you're in your purpose, the enemy will try to speak to you and make you second guess what you're doing.
Yes.
And so, but never in my mind have I, like this, I mean, I've recorded, I got a lot of music out. I'm not the hugest artist in the world. Mm-hmm. I could have been quit. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not out here making a bunch of money off this stuff, but I'm passionate about it. Like I would record myself and listen to my own music if no one else listened to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, that's because I'm passionate about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome. Like you have to be a fan of yourself, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're whatever your creativity is, whatever your craft is, you got to be a fan of your own stuff, who you are and what you're doing, right? If you have a service business or whatever, if you wouldn't hire yourself, you got problems, right? If you wouldn't listen to your own music,
yeah,
you got problems. If I wouldn't read my own book or something, I got a problem, right? Like what am I doing? But yeah,
right.
No, that's good. And I think that this is like, this has been a congruent like message that has kind of been going throughout like Beast Life right now a little bit, is kind of finding your identity, overcoming your fears, like letting that really settle in. You know, I think that's something that easy to say, it's harder to do, you know, for people. and I get that. Like I have so much empathy for people in life. Like I came from a rough background. You know, when I tell my story and give my testimony and stuff, like I've experienced lots of things, and I don't, excuse me, I don't deserve what God did for me. So I have a lot of empathy and sympathy for people, you know, like,
yeah.
So I never judge people harshly like that or whatnot. I just try to, you know, I try to walk in love to the best I can. And, you know, I don't find it hard to do because of my past and because of everything that happened to me. So, when it comes to finding your gifts and your talents and, you know, really tapping into having the courage to, you know, be yourself and be authentic. You know, I think that that's something that, we have a little patience for people. And we're going to keep pushing them to do as they listen to us, because I think it is a bigger thing than most people will give themselves, will give the recognition to, because it's like a prideful thing. It's like, yo, nah, you know, I'm not, don't tell, you know, like they don't, you don't want to admit that, that you have all these like inner fears and these things that are preventing you from really taking those steps of faith, you know? Because it is a faith walk, bro. You can't, you know, you can't do it without that faith.
Bro, so, it's tough. It's tough. When you first start to really dig deep and being honest with yourself, when I hear the scripture, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. It's not just about the truth of the gospel. It's the truth about yourself, man. Like in the song called Here I Am, I said, one of the bars, I said, all my insecurities, impurities in every area that I'm weak, he turned them all into a strength. Do you believe? It's like, but in order for me to know that that's a weakness, I have to talk about that to the Father. So it's about stripping yourself down. Be honest. Like, God, I suck at this. I'm weak. I'm immature. I'm horrible in this area. I hate myself. Like, just being honest, Lord, help me. Like, and it's uncomfortable sometimes. Yeah, like, but absolutely, that's a part of finding your identity. That's a part of really becoming okay with yourself, because in your weakness, that's where God is made strong. So I always tell people, be honest with yourself and be honest with God. And if you can never be honest with yourself, you can never be honest with anybody else. And you certainly can't be honest with God. So there's a problem there.
And we can, and that goes right into marriage, relationships, kids, you know, everything like transparency, honesty, all that will bring the truth that sets you free.
You gotta
have that transparency and to be vulnerable enough to allow the honest truth to arise. Like if you have a relationship problem and you're not honest enough in your assessment of why the potential problem could be you, like we got to always self-assess, right?
Yeah.
With our kids, with whatever the relationship may be. If we always point the finger and be like, yo, it's my damn kids or whatever.
Right.
Or my wife, you know, the guy's on his seventh divorce and he's still blaming the wife. Like that, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, it's like at some point you got to take accountability. And I don't understand it, but I think it's like you said, you got to have compassion because it's tough, man. But it's like we're hiding our real self from ourselves. And it's like God knows that.
Yeah.
So, for instance, we know that it's looked down upon on people who are jealous, or what we call them. We'll call them a hater. Right. But if you're being honest, there's times where some jealous thoughts will pop up. So you, instead of saying, oh, that ain't me, or ignoring it, say, dude, you were hating on that guy just now.
Yep.
You need to check yourself. You're
envying him. Yep.
Just being honest.
That opens the door for correction, and it opens the door for you to troubleshoot. Like, okay, what's up here? And it allows the Holy Spirit to work. Holy Spirit can't work if you're operating in pride. That's called humility, when you be honest with yourself.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. He said, "Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness." But the first thing, you got to confess it.
Yes. Absolutely. So let's get into some of your music here and stuff. Now, the first song that I heard, actually how I came to know you, was the song Bounce Back, right? That's the title of it?
Okay. Yeah.
So, well, that was fire. And I heard that. I
appreciate
like,
it, man.
Oh, dude, this guy, like this, right? So I actually looked you up, reached out to you, befriended you and stuff, and that's how we started the connection.
Yeah.
So what was, you've been making music for a little while now. Tell me a little bit about like, you know, how you've evolved as an artist. Tell me a little bit about the song Bounce Back. And then we're going to get into your new album that just dropped, right? Talking about that. But before we just jump right into the new one, let's just give a little history. Like where's your career brought you as far as music? Talk to me about Bounce Back. I think it's a dope song. Definitely want people to check that out. And then we'll get into your new album too.
Yeah, man. It started with, That was a EP in the album that I'm about to drop now, that I dropped just this past Friday. Okay. Is the seventh of a series called The Psalms, which started back. I did the Psalms 1 and the Psalms 2 back in 2017. I didn't put it on any streaming platforms, but it was on YouTube. It was available on all of the on a Noise Trade and SoundCloud, stuff like that. But it was the Psalms 3 that, like, well, after I dropped the Psalms 2, people were like, man, can you put this stuff on the major platforms? I would like to be able to stream this on my phone. And so that the first album I put out, like, to all the streaming platforms as like an official release, was like the Psalms 3, where people started to really take notice. And there's a Christian website. It's called they have a radio show and stuff like that. It's called Track Stars. They actually wrote like a little article about one of my videos and posted it on their page. That was like the first time I ever got any type of recognition on that end. Okay. And so it was like, wow, that's okay. And it was a little video I did by myself.
Reinforcement and stuff for you. Right?
Absolutely. Like, man.
So I got some people are sending me some love. They're recognizing my skills.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And then people start posting my stuff and had a couple, 10 views turned into 100 to 1,000 to 5,000. I got some videos with that many views on it. And people start sharing it on Facebook. Then I started getting messages about, man, this song encouraged me, bro. This helped me get through this. I appreciate your transparency. And then people notice like my growth as I go, because I'm so honest about where I'm at in my walk. But one thing I always try to do is make sure that although I'm being honest about what I'm struggling with, there was always this hope that I have Christ. So eventually I'm going to mature to a level where this will no longer be an issue for me. And as you see the trajectory of me with my music, that's how that, you know, it shows where I'm at in my walk and my music, not just as an artist, but as a man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Which I think is so important, especially because of what you expressed to me earlier about, like, you know, what your goals were for the music and everything, to be transparent to your audience and allow them to realize that you're a human being. Right. Yeah, so many people I find, and I try to do the same thing as you with the vulnerability and stuff. I think so many people want to live in this facade, and it's like, first off, anybody who believes you're like, you know, perfect and you ain't got anything going on, you know, like, to be vulnerable and to allow the people that, you know, are fans of your art and stuff, go through that with you.
Yeah.
That's how you develop that relationship. And then they're like, they get to know, hey man, I remember when this album came out, you felt like you were struggling with this, you're doing this. And then, man, you know, it's like, it's like the opposite sometimes with some of these other mainstream artists. I'm like, yo, you were rhyming about gangbanging, then you made it, and now you're still rhyming about gangbanging. Some even go forward and then go backwards again.
Oh, yeah, now, like, you caught even more bodies this
year.
Yeah,
now you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite.
Right. Yeah, no, that's real, man. Like, and that's one of the things, like, even earlier what you were talking about, you were saying you don't like to call it secular, it's positive or negative, because there's even some Christian rap that they talk about what they're struggling with, but they don't, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. They don't speak about the other side of it. And so that becomes something that maybe not be the best for your spirit.
Right.
It's just more of a song about what you're going through. So I say that to say, I talk about my struggles, and I also have accountability in my music where I say, I did this wrong. Yeah. And this led to that. I got to make better decisions. I walk people through the decisions I've made. You know what I'm saying? That led to me. Okay. Now I've been sober this long after being an alcoholic. I fell back. How many times I stopped believing, I stopped walking. Right. And so, you know, a lot of times people will leave it kind of open door where it's kind of, people can interpret, especially younger Christians or younger people who are trying to find God. They're like, well, you basically sound like you're blaming God for your problems. It's like, well, God's perfect. He knows the plans that he has for us. Plans are good, not evil. The prosperous gives us a hope and an expected end. And so, you know, I try to make sure that whenever the struggles I am talking about, I know where it went wrong. I know that there's an enemy attacking, but I also know God said that if I could approach the throne of grace boldly, and ask him to help me overcome this thing. And, you know, he said, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Yeah. There are so many other yeah. ways to let people know, like, okay, I'm struggling, but I know I'm going to come out of this because my yeah. hope is in Jesus. So,
and you know, on that note, what I like about that too is that we like what we teach and stuff when it comes to like growing in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, personal development. And personal growth is like, I always feel throughout the Bible, you look, God is always leading us to level up, to grow as, yes. you know, as men and women, as kings and queens, because that allows us to enter to another level of the plan that he has for us. Right. Mm-hmm. And so like we always have to work on growing, you know,
yeah.
so what you're saying is, hey man, I'm allowing you to experience my personal development as God keeps taking me from one level of my life to the next.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously we learn to rejoice in our tribulations because that really truly does level us up.
Come on.
If yeah. we see it right. Right. If yeah. we don't get all, you know, like some people go through tribulations, go through troubles, and they're like, they let it break them. They let it take them out. They, like you were saying before, they don't have thick enough skin. And they don't have the proper glasses on to look deep enough into the tribulation and into the trial to be like, hey, what can I learn from this? Like, truly,
yes.
really a gift to me? Like, is God literally putting this on my lap so that he wants to teach me something so that he can take me to a new level? Like, come on, man. You realize it, and you're good. Like, yo, bring the trouble.
Yes, because trial worketh patience, man. And
right.
and so that the man of God will be perfect, wanting nothing. Like, you know, that's, and the Bible is like, man, it's so clear in how many people went through so many trials in that, like you said, yeah. where's the lesson in it? What have you learned? And then, like you said, it's certain people where they'll go through a trial and it'll break them. But the scripture even predicted that that's going to happen, depending yeah. on what, how you take the seed of the word, how you yeah. use it. It's going to determine, it says some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold, yeah. they're going yeah. to bear fruit. Yeah. And so you can choose what you're going to do based on what you do with the seed that is sown, what or, you do with yeah. the lessons that you learned. Are you going to continue to complain and continue to blame others, never take accountability? Or are you going to take that seed, go through the trials and tribulations,
yeah.
get the lesson that God wanted you to learn, also get the patience that you need to learn through this tribulation, also yeah. get... the maturity, learning from it, so where I won't make the same mistakes that led to this once I'm here. You know what I mean? So
yeah, yeah.
it's our choice of if we want to, how we choose to what level we want to go to. Like he said, some 30, I'll some 60, it. Some 100, right. some 100. Some is okay with just being regular, I guess.
Yeah. No, you're right. 100%. That's deep. Very powerful.
Yeah.
So let's talk now too about so your new album. Right. I listened to that. There was a song on there, Change.
Yeah.
I really like that. Probably because I could relate to that, like I was saying.
Yeah.
About things. But what did so on that, and you do have a lot to say because there's 20 tracks on that bad boy. You was jamming.
Yeah. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah. So talk to us and give us some of, and I know this is a hard question because it's each song has a piece of you and
yeah.
a portion of you. So to say, well, what are some of your favorite songs? Like I like them all, right? But like, if you had to break down the track or break down the album, give us a lot of stuff. Give us like, was there any specific reason, like why you named it what you named it? Is there any like anything going on with the songs in there that it's like kind of creates a specific, you know, flow? And then are there any songs that stand out to you that you want to talk about? Let's just talk about the new album for a minute here.
So yeah, the Psalms, like initially this was when I started the recording process of this project at the end of last year. It was really supposed to be a different project, but I try to be spirit led in what I write, what I create. And then it started to shape out to be another Psalms because I started to go deeper than I even anticipated going on certain records. Yeah. And I believe it's because
I can sense that about you.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, okay, I'm willing to sacrifice, be vulnerable for the sake of helping someone else, man. Cause,
that's yeah. what's up right there.
Cause a lot of people
that's ministry right there.
Yes. A lot of people are, they don't want to be judged and they don't want to be, you know, I mean, it's tough. It's like you as a man, you want to be looked at as a tough man that,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? But when you're talking about growing up, I used to hate myself and stuff like that. Sometimes people may look at you differently, But those are people who probably got the same struggles themselves and or have other areas in which they're weak at. But because I'm able to talk about this, now I'm not operating in my strength. I'm operating in God's strength because he said, in my weakness, he's made strong, and he's stronger than anything any man could ever offer. So with this record, it was like the Psalms of David. He's very vulnerable in that. Yeah. Very vulnerable. He talks about how he's feeling. He's honest with God about even some times where he's like, God, like, I need you to come through for me. Like, my enemies are ever before me. It's like, God, he's honest about some of the failures, the slip ups.
True picture.
Right? Yeah.
He doesn't hide. He has no facade. He's opening himself up.
Boom. Lay on his face. He's like, I'm weak. Like, they're out. You know, they're coming to get me. Like, my son is trying to kill me and different stuff like that. And he's like, God, I need you. And so it's like, it started off with that where I started to see when it's the album is shaping. I'm like, oh, these records are got a lot of personals. I'm going deep on some stuff. Like, and so it's like, okay, this is a Psalms where it's going to be more of a vulnerable, more of an introspective record where I'm taking people into the beginning of my walk, even prior to knowing Christ and the fullness of Christ. And so it's like, so knowing what you struggle with, knowing your childhood, knowing, reflecting on what things you went through as a kid helps you to understand why you do some of the things you do. So things, trauma or bad things that you've experienced as a kid, it shapes how you react to certain situations, why I have an anger issue, why I may be fearful in this issue, why I'm. So it's like you're getting down to the root cause of whatever is causing it. And once you are able to attack the root of it, you're able to uproot it. And then you actually can truly become healed from it. So with this album, again, it's just
the truth will set you free.
Truth set you free, man. So it's like with change, I talked about growing up, used to hate myself. Like I remember literally being depressed as a 5-year-old, like crying for no reason. Like we were poor, we didn't have a lot. And it was just a lot of stuff going on. I didn't know my dad at the time, all like that. I connected with my pops later on in life. That's why I said up in the eighth grade, I never embraced myself. But it's like when I moved in with my dad for the first time in the eighth grade, I was playing three sports. I did well in sports, did well in school. I kind of found a little bit of my identity.
Okay.
And so, you know, Change was one of those records like that. And then Patience may not be like the best beat in the world or the best, you know what I'm saying, track, but.
Powerful word, though.
Yes, and I wanted to encourage people who may be in this fight, because a lot of times when you first come to know God, you go through some trials and tribulations, some ups and downs. God's testing your faith. The enemy is trying to choke the word out of you, so you're going through some things. And so it's like being patient during these trials, during these struggles, and saying, God, knowing that God said that is his will that we prosper and be in good health, even as we, you know, as our souls prosper.
Sure.
Like, God wanting the best for us, but we have to go through the trials and tribulations that's going to grow us and make us stronger. So
many times people, they just want to get there, just be there, right? Yeah. Like morph there.
Yeah.
Like that, right?
But I used to be like that, man.
Yeah.
I swear I did.
Yeah. And so on that note, then once you kind of get to a place where you say, you know what? I truly have to learn to enjoy the process and to accept the journey here. Like, because if I don't, I'm going to miss a lot of the lessons in it.
If you're
thinking too far ahead, it's good to have a vision. It's good to have goals, right? But you want to be able to be in the midst of what it is that you're going through so that you can listen and hear, you know, what the Spirit of God is trying to show you and teach you. And I think I fall victim to that too, wanting to just jump ahead. Come on, man. We're going through this. Like feeling that, like, you know, almost sometimes, I'm going to lie, feel like, yo, I paid my dues. Like Charles said, right? My days of paying dues are over. Technology's in here. Like, I want to just be there, right?
Yeah.
But then God's like, dude, hold on, chill out, relax for a minute. I got things that I'm trying to show you. I got things that I'm trying to teach you. I'm still shaping. Yes. The path for you here. And like, I don't want you to be that guy. I don't want you to be, you know, this person or that person or this type of business or that. Like, I need to I need to level you up and I need to take you through these things to show you, to give you the clear perspective and the vision that I have for you, not the one that you want to have, literally I have for you.
Yeah.
And so we have to accept that and endure sometimes those things and open our humility up, the door of humility up, so that we can get that proper message and receive it.
And when you go through certain things with the Lord, it kind of helps you grow in that area of learning to appreciate the process. So you go through, for instance, like, man, we were a couple years ago, we had a stint where my wife had got fired from her job for she had a health issue. She couldn't come to work. They fired her. I got laid off. I had started a business. One of my main workers got injured. I ended up like having to sell my truck and all this other different stuff. And it led to us getting evicted to the point where then we couldn't find a place. We're going hotel to hotel. We're struggling. Wow. And it's like, now that I have a place now, I'm looking back on it. It's like when we ended up getting our place where we're at now, it was almost like, it was kind of weird. It was almost like, well, I had learned to, I had been receiving so much wisdom from God and so much learning how to be grateful and growing so much during that process of struggle that it almost felt weird for it to be over. And so it was like, it was kind of hard for me to kind of settle in. Like I was starting to learn to enjoy the struggle a little bit. It brought me closer to God. It matured me in so many areas. But so I say that to say, learning how to appreciate the journey, like you said. Imagine if you are at you in the March Madness in the tournament. You know, it's 64 teams. Imagine if you just said, blink your eye, you're the champion, and you never experienced the struggle in the first round, the struggle with the overtime game in the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, the Final Four, where we almost didn't make it. And you know what I'm saying? And all those lessons you learn, it's like, okay, I won a championship, but it's a blur. Like it would be terrible.
If you didn't go through it, you're not a champion.
That's a fact. So it's like, you can't really enjoy that. It's the sense of accomplishment when you know I was here. God has brought me here. But through that whole process, I've grown here, here, and here. I've grown in areas that won't affect or no one won't notice except for myself or my family may notice it. So it's like, I wouldn't change it for anything. It sucked. I was living in my car at times. It sucked in the moment, but I would not change it for anything because I grew so much during that process.
And you were, like we were just talking about, you were open enough to receive and listen. But when you're going through it, you have doubts a lot of times. You know, one of the things, like whenever you're going through it, you hold on to the faith. Like, hey, I know God's trying to show me something. What is it that I'm learning?
Right. And
just on the opposite side of the spectrum, I just want to say something. Like, I also know, some people that are, you know, let's call it maybe ran with a little bit with some pride, and they don't want to humble themselves to be able to, you know, receive like we're saying. But then there's also the other side where people are kind of addicted to the process of the struggle.
Yeah.
That's not a good place to be either. Right. You gotta find a balance, because on the other side, you got people who are just, their life is not complete without struggle. Wow. That's not cool, right? That's not where God wants you. He literally wants to bring you through some struggles to teach you lessons, but he ain't never meant those struggles to be your dwelling place.
That's not your kingdom,
right? So God, he always teaches us, you know, like, hey, gives us this balance. Like, all right, you have to have a balance of understanding, you know, those two differences, I think.
So
for the people that are on the other side that are just constantly going from struggle to struggle to struggle to struggle, you got to ask yourself at some point, like, okay, so God is not just, you know, giving you a house of struggle to live in. So you gotta start to, you know, work your way out of the struggle and say,
look,
you know, you need a little bit more of that vision. You need a little bit more of that, you know, where you're expecting and anticipating and you're more faith driven of, okay, I am moving myself past this level, you know,
and then
bring you another level later. But you got to go through, you know, some seasons of like some prosperity in the middle. You know, you can't just, it's not just struggle.
Exactly.
You know,
so, that's for real. Like I had I was talking to my wife about someone we know, and it's like, I made a video probably like 3 weeks ago talking about this very topic. God put it on my heart, but it's like a lot of people will say, oh, I'm just going through my Job experience.
Yeah.
But when you look at Job got double for his trouble. He didn't remain in that. So it's like at some okay, now you've been in this for a long time.
Yeah.
Why are you still in the same struggle? And in fact, you've actually regressed in a lot of areas. So it's like we have to start being honest, because if we're not, then we're calling God a liar. Yeah. We're saying that the word of God isn't true. But he's taking us faith to faith, glory to glory. Like, he's not just going to leave. He's not dipping us in a fire just to leave us there. Yeah. He's dipping us in there for us, some things to get cleaned off, for us to grow from it. And then we mature past that. And I'm learning that now, what you said about how sometimes we can be a little bit too comfortable in the struggle.
Yeah.
And that's what I dealt with. It was almost a level of guilt. Like, when things are a little bit smoother, it's like you almost feel like you're waiting for something to go wrong, or you're like, oh man, it's like you don't feel like you deserve it. It's like you have to overcome that.
On that note, we teach something, and I'm gonna kind of get close to wrapping up here with this thing, and then I got a question to ask you. But on that note, we teach something in our program about, like, I have a background in construction, home building, and stuff like that. And I was thinking about, like, are you familiar what a thermostat does, right? When you have thermostat in your house, you turn your thermostat up and it kicks the heat on, right? When you're cold, turn the thermostat down, and then it brings the heat, you know, down when it's hot, when you want the AC on, right?
Yeah.
And if you look at a lot of thermostats, especially the old school thermostats, they have this section inside the thermostat. It's called the comfort zone. That's literally what it's called, the comfort zone. Okay. And that's what people do. They get stuck in their comfort zones. And it's a mindset and it's a mental programming. And the problem is, with a comfort zone, and how a thermostat works is, if the temperature gets too hot, it will bring you back down into your comfort zone, right?
Right.
And if the temperature starts to get too cold, it will bring it up into the comfort zone, right? It wants to keep you in that comfort zone. And how that parallels with your life is that, let's just use finances for a minute. So people have comfort zones in every aspect and every area of their life, their fitness, their everything. So we'll use your money, finances, for a minute.
Yeah.
You stop. If you're used to making, let's just make it easy. If you're used to making $100,000 a year, let's say, and all of a sudden you start only making, let's just say, 60. You're like, you're not comfortable there, right?
Right.
You're going to bring it back to 100.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though. If you start making $150, you're not comfortable there yet. And what people do is they also let that come back down. So you see what I'm saying? So what you need to do is learn how to change your mindset and accept a new level of comfort zone. So when you're leveling up, people will get stuck in the struggle is because that their mindset is stuck in a comfort zone, right? Wow. They have these boundaries that they're not allowing themselves past because their belief is keeping them stuck in this comfort zone. It's all about shattering those beliefs, and God wants to level you up, right?
Yes.
So that's where you know, those people, anybody struggling with that, myself included, we all have comfort zones. So we all have to be aware of that and be like, okay, you know, if I want to be this weight, you know, whatever, or if I want to be in this level of fitness, you know, I'm not used to being there. And every time I start to do that, I'll start eating again. I'm like, oh, I'm good. You know what I mean? And every time, so you get stuck in these comfort zones. And it's something that, you know, we teach that people should be aware of. And so I don't know if you have anything you wanted to add to that, but I have a question for you.
Yeah, no, man, that's good. Like, that's literally something I like, even with the music stuff, when I started getting opportunities and shows early on, there were like, I kind of had like a self-destructive way, with my struggles with alcohol and stuff like that. I think the fear of advancing can kind of make you say, oh, I'm used to this, so let me go back to my comfort zone of drinking, because this is unfamiliar. So let me but I had to, God has helped me to break those, that mindset of, let's get back to the fear of the unknown, whether it be good or bad.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you won't even try something that seems so far out because I don't feel like it's uncomfortable. I don't know those people, even though that connection may lead to you growing. So that's a great way to look at it.
You don't feel you deserve it subconsciously, and it pulls you back.
That's exactly
that mindset, you know, and that's where vision and goals is good. That's where when you know, the people without a vision do perish, because you're never going to get ahead. You gotta have that vision pulling you, and you got to be pushing yourself to reach it, right? On that note, we were talking before about, you know, legacy and stuff like that. And I really do believe legacy is a gift that we can give back to God, because the legacy that we leave is basically, it's like an accumulation of everything that we've done with our life, right? With our time here on earth and our talents and the treasures that we've accumulated. Like, how did we steward everything that we were given? Mm. And our legacy is our fragrance after we're gone. It kind of paints the picture of everything that we did. Kind of like you were talking about before with the parable of the talents, right? So my question to you is, what do you want, you know, if at the end of the day, when you're graduating and moving on from earth, right, to a new life, what is it that you want? Like, what would make you happy? What would make you smile? What kind of a legacy would you like to leave here, and a fragrance would you like to offer up? You know, what would be said about you, or what you did here on earth?
Man, that's a great question, man. So for me, it's just about fruit, man. And a lot of times, like, for instance, just scripturally speaking, we will look at people's gifts and we will be, you know, enamored by their gift. And, oh, man, he was talented. He did this. He did that.
Yeah.
But the fruit of the spirit is what's going to be in operation in heaven. Yeah. So it's like the fruit of the spirit, patience, love, kindness, gentleness, all those fruit. It's what's required once you make it to the next life. And so I'm not going to need to prophesy to anyone on the next life. I'm not going to need to lay hands and heal anyone. So I want my legacy to be the fruit of the spirit, the fruit. Right. The Bible's, like I said, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. So I want to be known as the person who, okay, he was gifted as a rapper, but him as a person, I know he lived everything that he rapped.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people where we can be very hypocritical, where we'll speak a certain message, but us ourselves aren't living it. And like Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you shut up heaven and you yourself is not entering.
Yeah.
So I want people to know, okay, that guy really lived it and he was really trying to please God. And so,
when they see me,
they know. It's just a reminder of it. It points you to God. I just want everything I do to point you to God. So I don't want people to worship me. Yeah. Like, I don't want people to praise what I got going on, or, you know, it's like, it makes it, whenever I heard his music or whenever I heard him speak, it made me want to be closer to God. Because the Bible says that it's the anointing that destroys the yoke, not the gifts, not the talent. It's about the anointing of God, and God can't dwell in a dirty vessel. And so in a prideful vessel. So you had to be humble and walk in humility. And so I want God to be able to max out in me, be a vessel of honor on this earth. And so that God can get the most glory out of my life. That's what, awesome. Even the last track is all the glory on the album. So
very nice. That's dope, dude. I respect that. You know, highly. I do. I think that you're living your testimony as far as, you know, that goes. I think your transparency and your music, and just from chopping it up with you, it's been a pleasure. I can tell the sense of it's nice. It's really nice to talk with people who are honest and vulnerable, and, you know, and there isn't that you can tell when someone's prideful, you know. Like, there's that spirit of pride, like there, you know what I'm saying?
Like, and, me 3 years ago.
Yeah, there you go. See that right there? You've just been up.
Yeah.
But it's so nice, and it's so refreshing to, you know, to be able to talk with somebody who's operating in humility.
Same here, man. I'm enjoying it.
Better conversation, right? I will say the same thing. I definitely have to overcome pride. I think everybody does.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some people that are just naturally humble. It wasn't me
at all. The same at here, all, bro. Man.
So, hey, man, we're gonna conclude an episode of Chopping It Up. I've had a great time conversing same with here. You. Before we go, I'll be doing everybody a complete disservice if I did not allow you the opportunity. We want to know where we can get a hold of material, your tracks, do you have a website? Where can they connect with you on social? What platforms are you streaming on? Give everybody all the information that they need to be able to find you and be able to start consuming your, you know, your works.
Absolutely. So I'm on all of the social media platforms. On Twitter and Instagram is at the St. Jones, T-H-E-S-A-I-N-T Jones. Streaming on all the platforms. I also have some music that won't be on the platforms, but it's previous works like mixtapes and stuff for free at noisetrade.com/St. Jones. I have a SoundCloud page that has some music on there. It's just soundcloud.com/the St. Jones. And let me see. That's about it, man. Facebook. I'm Rashawn Jones on Facebook. My friends list is kind of maxed out right now, but my artist page is facebook.com/the St. Jones. Man, album just dropped just this past Friday. Spotify, iTunes, Fire, Apple Music. Appreciate you, man. Yeah. It's on all of the major streaming platforms that you can think of. It's even on Bandcamp.
I was going to say, so as far as the streaming platforms are great, you know, that's a great way to get a hold of people and stuff. But if someone wants to support you better, they can probably do so in a better light by downloading it and purchasing it on Bandcamp or something.
Yeah, Bandcamp is actually up right now for $7 on Bandcamp. You can download it. And also I have hard copies of the album and you can find that on my website. It's signedtogod.com. SIGNEDTOGOD.com. That's where you can get. I have the Psalms 5, 6, and 7 available for purchase. Also have shirts and hoodies and stuff on that website as well. So,
yeah, and your line is dope. I love the sign to God. That's a great logo. Appreciate it, man. Great work you're doing there. Thanks, we'll put all the information for you, however you're listening to this, in the comments and stuff like that, so they can check it out as well. It's been a pleasure chopping up with you, man. I look forward to continuing our relationship and stuff and watching you grow and be successful. I'm excited. I'm fired up for you. And we're going to sign off right here. Is there anything else you want to say to the listeners while we check out?
Man, just be honest. Be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. There's nothing. If you had a thought to kill your mother, tell God. Don't hide. Don't lie. He knows anyway. He knows the amount of hairs that are on your head. He knows everything about you. You cannot hide. Yeah. The scripture says that. No evil is outside of Elroy, which means the God who sees you. So God sees it all. So just be real with him. It's not worth spending an eternity separated from God just because you want to hide some things from yourself. God already knows. Man, just, I appreciate being on, bro. I learned some things that I'm about to apply to my life. Just you sharing with me, that's kind of helped. I'm excited to tell my wife, like, babe, like, this is what I was talking about. Like, expanding my mind past beyond feeling like you don't deserve something and the comfort zone thing. Like, bro, I'm edified right now, man.
You deserve it, brother. Yes, you do.
I appreciate you, man.
I got big plans for you. And I love chopping it up with other men that are full of wisdom. So as we sign off here, Rashawn, that's awesome. I'm going to leave people with exactly what you just said. The truth will set you free. Don't front. Just be honest with God. Yeah. The best way you can get him working in your life.
Yes.
So with that, we're going to sign off. God bless. We love you all. We'll see you on another episode of Breathing Fire and a Chopping It Up interview. Peace out.
Peace.
All right, Lions Tribe. That wraps up another episode of Breathing Fire. We truly hope you enjoyed it. If so, it would mean the world to us if you'd help us kingdom build by leaving us a great review on the platform you're listening on. Subscribe or follow the podcast and share it with friends. Thank you so much. God bless. Remember to visit us online at beastlife.com. Join our free Facebook group, The Lions Tribe, and connect with us across social at Beast Life Brand. Until next time, keep breaking chains and living powerful. Peace out.